Good morning, everybody. Would you like to turn to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. My title this morning, because Julie likes it if we tell her what the title is, my title this morning is Coals and Cucumbers. Coals and Cucumbers, that'll keep you guessing, won't it? In the very first verse of our text this morning, we come across the word devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. So what exactly is meant by devoted? The first thing we need to do is to define just what this word means. Well, according to the dictionary, the word devoted means to set apart or dedicate by a vow or solemn act, to give up oneself wholly to something. This morning I want to talk about being devoted to the teaching of the apostles, to the fellowship of the church, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I'd like to suggest that without devotion to these things, our life as individuals and our life as a church cannot possibly succeed. It can't succeed because without devotion to those things that God has given us, we end up adrift, we end up separated from the Lord who is our shepherd, and we will be swept away by the false teachings of the world. We will lose the strength and the hope that we're supposed to have, and our joy, our health, our determination will quickly dissipate. We will become people who are lifeless, unattractive, and lost. We will have no spiritual fervour and life, and we will be unattractive to the rest of the world, and we'll be aimless and lost. Unless we change our ways, unless by the grace of God we're once again found, we'll stumble and fall. The father of all lies tries to tell us that this devotion, this dedication of one's time and energy to the teaching of the apostles, to the fellowship of the church, to the breaking of bread and prayer, is not really all that important. He tries to tell us that we can get by with the occasional prayer. It will not hurt all that much if we don't read and learn about the Bible. He tells us that a person doesn't really have to attend church or get involved in Christian groups to be a follower of Christ. But all of this, all of these are lies. And anyone who tells you otherwise is not speaking to you with the voice of God. They're speaking as the world speaks. They're trying to convince you to follow them on their path of destruction. The secret of every growing church and the basis of every healthy spiritual life is an overriding commitment to hearing the word of God and applying it to one's life. It's a dedication to the health and prosperity, both spiritual and physical, of one's fellow believers. And it's the desire to bring the presence of God within that community and within one's own private prayer life. I'm sure that many of you have heard the saying, the family that prays together stays together. We are the family of God. And unless we pray together, unless we study and seek the will of God in the Word of God together, and unless we share good times or bad times together, we'll suffer the fate that comes upon those who stay apart. We will be alone, and ultimately we will lose our sense of direction, our sense of purpose, and our faith. Unfortunately, that is happening, and has happened, in churches throughout the world. It's happening in those places where individual happiness is prized more than righteousness. It's happening where pursuing material success is held to be more important than spending time together. It's happening where golf on Sunday or watching football or taking the kids to McDonald's is deemed more important than building one's relationship with God. It's happening where watching TV or going shopping for the weekend is deemed more important than sharing with one's brothers and sisters in the joys and concerns that we have. And it's happening where praying together and sharing together those things that help us in God's world take second place. Now, I presume that despite our parents' advice, all of us have, at some time, played with fire. We've sat before a fireplace and we've watched the coals glowing red and hot, or we've watched the barbecue as it slowly comes to heat. And all of us know that if we take a single coal out of the centre of the fire and place it to one side, it soon turns dull grey and becomes cold while the rest of the fire continues to burn. And so it is with us. Separate the person from the Christian community. Take them away from the place in which the word is proclaimed, where the bread is broken and where prayer is uttered, and soon the light of their faith grows dull and the warmth within them begins to decrease. Don't let anyone deceive you. You can't be a Christian, at least you can't be an effective Christian, a fully alive Christian, if you don't listen to the voice of the one who calls you by name, or if you ignore his call to follow him where he would lead you for your own safety. How can you expect to do what is right? How can you expect to experience the blessings of God? How can you hope to minister to one another the love of Christ and feel that love return to you if you don't turn to Christ and listen to his voice? If you don't regularly meet together with your brothers and sisters? If you don't pray together and work together and love each other with the love of Christ? If you don't study the Word of God together? And the answer is that you can't. And the evidence of that is all around us. The evidence is in the people we meet day by day who claim to believe in and love God and yet have none of the signs of the abundant life that Christ promises all who hears his voice and enters into his family. Devotion, dedication, commitment. That's the secret of success in everything we do. And in all that we do, that devotion, that dedication, that commitment is focused on specific things. To experience life, and that abundantly as Christ says we can, our focus must be on the teachings of the apostles, which are the teachings of our Lord, and which we can learn and apply in our Bible studies. We must be devoted to the fellowship of the believers, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The early church was persecuted by the Jewish leaders and by the Roman occupiers. Some of them were harassed, arrested, imprisoned. Some were even put to death. But throughout all this, they had this focus and devotion, and the results were tremendous. As Luke tells us in today's reading, all the believers were together and had everything in common. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Day by day, God added to their number. From that first community came the entire church, a church that survived the stoning of Stephen, the persecution of Paul, the destruction of Jerusalem itself. The early church survived and prospered because the people within it committed themselves to one another and to the Lord who brought them together. The early church grew and spread like a fire in dry grass because those who believed sought God's presence and prayed for his will to be done in their midst, not just one day a week, but each and every day. I wonder how many of us even pray each and every day, let alone seek out the fellowship of fellow believers and pray with them, eat with them on a regular and consistent basis. I wonder how many of us read the scriptures each day. How many of us even think about what God has said in the prayer in the past to us, let alone seek to hear what he might be trying to say to us now in the midst of our busy routines. But I'm sure that we're all familiar with the expression cool as a cucumber. That expression cool as a cucumber refers to someone who is able to remain calm and collected in the heat of life's battles. The expression actually has its basis in scientific fact. A cucumber lying in the sun on a hot day is cooler on the inside than the outside. In fact, the centre can be as much as 10 degrees cooler than the outside. Even without a thermometer, the temperature can quite easily be detected by touch. But the difference in temperature between the inside and the outside is only maintained as long as the cucumber is attached to the vine. Once the cucumber is cut from the parent plant, it loses its ability to keep its cool. Like the cucumber, we can only keep our cool in the midst of difficult circumstances. We can only thrive in the midst of an insane world as long as we remain attached to the vine. And our vine is the fellowship of fellow believers and its head, Jesus Christ. The sap that runs through it is the word of God, and the power unleashed in the listening to it and breaking bread together and in praying together. In the vine, we have life. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." He also said, "I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and you will come and go out and find pasture." God has prepared a fold for us. He has made ready a safe haven for us and appointed a faithful shepherd over us. To enjoy that safe haven, we need to listen to the voice of our shepherd and together, in the company of our fellow believers, follow him. When we follow him, he'll lead us by the still waters to the green pastures. He'll keep us safe as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff will comfort us. But the opposite is also true. When we fail to follow him, when we fail to listen to his voice and join ourselves with the rest of the flock, the waters will not be stilled. We will experience terror in the valley of the shadow of death, and our cup will not overflow in the presence of our enemies. We need, and all those who claim to believe in God need, to truly devote ourselves to our Lord and his teachings, and to one another as brothers and sisters. In him, if we are to be alive as a church, like Jerusalem was after the day of Pentecost. And it's not hard to do this. In this church, we meet together twice every Sunday and worship, pray, and hear the word of God together. And we take communion at least once each Sunday. Every Thursday evening, we hold a prayer meeting or a Bible study where we share, pray, and study the word of God. And as we do this, as we pray and break bread together, as we study his word together, as we meet in fellowship together, Christ our Lord will do the rest. He'll make sure that our souls are restored. He will set a table before us in the presence of our enemies and ensure that we dwell in the house of God forever. And he'll do this, for he is the bread of life and the good shepherd. He is the way and the door, the resurrection and the life, the one in whom God is pleased to fully dwell, the one in whom God is even now fully revealed to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. So the question this morning merely is, are you a coal blazing hot in fellowship with your family of God, or a coal that is losing its heat as it's separated from its fellows? Or are you a cucumber, cool and full of the sap of God and attached to the vine? Or a cucumber cut off from the vine and gradually becoming dry and wizened? Think about it. Your whole Christian life depends upon it. Amen.